shut the fuck up for 30 seconds. You might learn something.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, the number one live audio culinary industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner, award-winning chef, TV host and global icon, and national treasure,
at least in his mind,
Chef Plum. So close that saute station, make sure the grill is off, and grab that shift drink, because we're about to mess up your mise en place. Here's Chef Plum.
Oh, how about that? Someone has got a brand new intro. I feel fancy. I have a fancy brand new intro. That's what I've got right there. Welcome to Plum Love Food Live, everybody. What's going on? Hope you're doing great. Hope your Monday has found you. Maybe today's your weekend. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's your week starting. I don't know. For me, it's my week starting because I had a bunch of days off, which was a great thing. But for you, maybe it's your weekend starting. So I hope you're having a great night. I hope that grill's turned off. Dude, that intro was fucking dope. That's so funny. See, I wrote that part of it, and then I had like a professional help rewrite it to make it sound like it's more fun. I don't know if it is more fun, but it's more fun to me. I think it's funny. So I hope you guys like it, too. The show is kind of doing very well, and we appreciate all the downloads and all the help and all the hanging out with us tonight. So thank you very, very much. Oh, hey, listen, it wouldn't be Plum Love Foods Live if I didn't have a great co-host. And I appreciate you guys checking out the show last week because I was flying solo. Tonight, I'm joined by the one and only Chef Dave Boredom. Dave, good evening, brother. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
You know, just hanging out, dude. Getting ready to have a great conversation with our friend Intoxicate. What's going on with you?
Not much, just chilling. My throat's actually on fire because I decided to drink coffee and
Wait,
bourbon.
You're saying it's on fire?
Yeah.
It's on fire.
Fire. Yeah. That's
fire. that's that Michigan accent coming out.
Yeah, it's the ultra hard R's.
Nice. What are you drinking?
Bourbon and coffee. Like, it tastes great, but it makes my throat hurt.
What were we calling that a minute ago? You said the ultimate speedball or something?
Yeah, it's like a legal speedball, I guess.
Legal or illegal?
Legal.
Nice. Well, yeah. I actually just popped the top on a cold one. I've been missing beer a lot. But you know what I'm doing? I'm going to have beer, but then I won't drink for a few days. That's my plan. I'm only allowed to have four.
Four a day? Or four every few days?
Well, you know, once a week is my plan.
All right.
That's not bad, right?
Nah. Can you space it out? Can you have like one... Like, is it one, you know, is it like 4 a week or is it just like one day a week?
No, it's going to be like 1 day a week. I can have like, I mean, I wasn't going to give a number on it, but I have to put a number on it, I think, in order to keep myself from drinking too many of them. So that's why I said four.
All right. That seems legit. Like four 12 ounce cans or four 16 ounce cans.
Well, now you're like, you're doing math on me now. Like, I don't freaking know. Like, 12 ounce bottles. I'm having an Alaskan Kolsch right now. Here's the funny part. I popped the top, but I still haven't drank any of it yet.
You should probably have some.
I feel like I'm in trouble. That's what I feel like. So listen, man, a lot of fun tonight. I got a great phone call from our good brother, Panini Pete, from the Mess Lords. They kind of have caught wind of what we're doing with the Navy, and they're all for it and super supportive, man. How cool is that?
That's pretty awesome.
Panini called me this evening as I was driving home from work, and he was very excited. He couldn't believe that we actually... did that we actually reached out and made that happen.
Yeah, I mean, at first I thought it was gonna be hard, but then once you look it up and then make the calls, get in touch with the right people.
Yeah, but you know,
sure.
I tend to do hard things. I tend to, I don't know, like I'm gonna pick something that's not easy, and then we're gonna do that, you know that.
Yeah,
by now, right?
Definitely.
I mean, that's what we're doing though, so it's exciting, man. Now, for you, those of you who don't know, we are actually going to the Navy sub base in New Lulundan sub base in Groton, Connecticut. We're going to cook for 400 sailors on December 28th. It's going to be the Plum Love Foods live Christmas special, the holiday special. Dave, is what we're going to call it. Holiday Chef-tacular. That's the name of it, right? It'll probably change 14 times. The Holiday Chef-tacular happening that night. We're going to put it all over social media. The Navy's going to talk about it on their social media. How cool is that? And it's going to be live, and we got some friends coming. Got some big surprises in store. We're really excited about it. I'm excited. Dave, are you excited?
Definitely.
I love, like, the best part about you is it's so hard to tell when you're excited about anything. Like, your excitement level is so high. Like, I kind of want you to calm down.
Yeah, I hold it on the inside, so it just builds up just nice. So much excitement. And then it just, you know, I use it.
You know, it was, but in all seriousness, it was really great to have, have Panini Pete call. And, he's one of the main guys for the Mess Lords, and they travel the world. cooking for military installations all across the world. What a great thing. I was telling Dave last week when we were on the submarine and we had a minute to ourselves, I kind of looked over at him and said, how funny this is, man. I always preach about how powerful food can be. Well, it's so powerful right now. We're on a nuclear submarine, you and I. And he was like, you were like, yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about, all because of food.
Yeah, definitely. That sub was pretty awesome, though. It's kind of weird, though, because being down there where my shoulder touches both sides of the hallway.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't know, in case you guys don't know, Dave is, 6'10", 6'4", 500 pounds from Grenoble, France. That's Andre the Giant, for those of you who don't know. No, but I mean, Dave, you're what? You're 6'4", 6'5", right?
6'4".
Well, I mean, but it's his radio, so you're 6'6", right?
Yeah.
Solid, a stout, 230 pounds of lean, mean fighting machine?
240, we'll go with that.
All right. But it was funny because they asked us if we could prepare one of our dishes for the event in their galley training room, which is crazy. It's this tiny little kitchen. It's got everything you need, but it's tiny. It's like being in a tiny house. And I think we're going to put Dave in there and make him prepare his dish in there, which I'm very excited about. Dude, your hair is a ceiling. If you see the picture on my Instagram, like Dave's there and my hand, I'm like, I can't put my hand between his head and the ceiling. There's no room.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because I didn't have my hat on at the time. And the second I put one on, my hat's going to be actually touching the ceiling completely. Yeah,
right. Yeah, Dave, we got a fun show tonight, man, talking about holidays. And we're going to have a lot more information about that coming up here really soon. We're just dotting all the I's and crossing the T's. And I'm super excited about it. I can't wait to get more into it with you guys and tell you more about it. We're going to be broadcasting live from there that night for the 2-hour holiday Plum Love Food Chef-tacular. We're going to have some sailors with us. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Dave will be there. It's all live in person. I'm sure we'll do an Instagram live there, too, so you can watch it if you like. We may have some guys cooking with air fryers and doing just fun competitions. And it's going to be great, man. I think it'd be great to have a talent show, but I don't think they'll let us do it.
I mean, you got to ask. All they can do is say no.
See, look, you sound like somebody else I know. But tonight's fun, man, talking about holidays, man. Holidays are one of those weird times in the restaurant business where, some restaurants feel like, yeah, it's really busy, it's the holiday times, but I've worked in places where it's like, oh, well, we're not busy because of the holidays. And I think the holidays are, for places like that, are a missed opportunity, Dave. It's an opportunity where people can do a lot of things to promote themselves, to promote their business, even promoting just a brand. People are way more apt to look at things and see things on Instagram, whether it's commercials, whether it's, brand promotion, or whether it's events happening at your restaurant. I mean, I think it's a great time of year that people don't take full advantage of, man. I think we got a great guest on tonight to talk about that. Dave, tell everybody who's joining us.
We have Intoxicate from Intoxicate Foodies at Instagram and Facebook, and you can check her out on Tuesdays at 6 p.m.
WGCH.com. I think she's probably got a better radio voice than me. Mine sounds like garbage, but I'm sure hers is a lot better. Kate, good evening, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. It's funny. I'm drinking a beer, and I haven't really had beer since before Thanksgiving. I hadn't had beer since Labor Day, right? Mm-hmm. And now, like, I went and I'm giving myself a very regimented plan. That's my deal.
Mm-hmm.
So is that too much or too little, or should I just stick with the no beer? I mean, I'm getting
I mean, roll with the beer.
I know, but I can drink a lot of beer, and like, I don't maintain this Adonis-like figure by drinking 14 beers.
Oh yes, the Adonis-like figure. It's tough when you're in the food industry, right? To kind of,
I couldn't agree more. I was snacking like a champion today. Although I did feel, I got to tell you guys honestly, and I'm gonna make fun of myself, then we'll move on. But who doesn't love a turkey sandwich after Thanksgiving, right? Turkey sandwiches are delicious. A little lettuce, black pepper, mayo. You can slap some cranberry sauce in there if you want. Delicious, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody fully agree on that? Yeah, I fried my turkey, too, and it just came out phenomenal. I'm not supposed to be eating bread, so I was like any large gentleman. I was making leftover turkey wraps in butter leaf lettuce. Yeah, that's what I was doing.
You know what works better for that?
Maybe just drinking a bottle of bleach, because that was a terrible idea. I'm a chef. I shouldn't be doing that. Eat a sandwich like a man.
No, yeah. Forget. No, you do. Listen, I understand where you're coming from. I wholeheartedly agree. However, there are times where we need to detox a little bit because of the industry that we are in. And I tend to find that a collard green works way better than the lettuce.
Ooh. Collard seems like it'd be chewy, though. Like, no stem?
No, you got to take a little bit of the meatier stem part out. But it wraps really well. It doesn't break as easy. And the flavor's kind of nice.
All right. I kind of envision it being a little bit bitter. It's not bitter?
No. Not if you put the right stuff in it.
Wow. You know, as a southern boy my entire life growing up, I think I would look at you eating collard greens like that and just telling you you're doing it wrong. That's not
probably
how you're supposed to do it. Dave, is that how you, would you do that on collard greens, Dave, or no?
No, like collard greens usually need like bacon or ham hock or something along those lines.
Listen, BLT in the collard green is like nobody's business.
Wait, then you're putting lettuce.
I'll try that.
Wait, you're putting lettuce in the collard green?
No, will you leave out the lettuce? Maybe it's just the B and the L.
Well, maybe it's
B and a T. B and a T.
A B C T? Bacon collard tomato?
Oh, you know what's really good? Do the bacon eggs.
Bacon
and tomato.
Eggs.
A little bit of hot sauce.
In a collard green.
Collard green all day long.
What else do you wrap your Christmas presents in collard greens? I mean, just wrapping everything up in collard greens. I think there's a problem. There's an 800 number you should call.
Do you understand how often I eat out? I mean, I'm dining out like 3 or 4 times a week. So when I eat at home, I try to be really, really healthy.
Well, you don't have to brag. I mean, you know, not all of us are intoxicated.
It's my job.
I got you. Listen, so we're happy to have you here, Kate. Thanks for joining us and taking a little bit of time to come out here on a Monday night and hang out with us. We do appreciate it. You know, holidays are a weird time for restaurants, aren't they?
I think so. Well, I think a lot of people think it's an odd time. I think people have this kind of misconception that it's going to slow down in December and in January. But I think that if you use the right kind of marketing tools and tricks, I think you could probably capitalize on a couple more dollars during the holiday season.
So I want to play a quick game. I want to tell you what my number one marketing tip would be. And then Dave's going to tell you what his number one marketing tip would be for the holidays, right?
I didn't even know anything about.
No, this is all that.
Poor Dave.
Yeah. And then we're going to see who's right and who's wrong here, or you can tell us where we're wrong, you know?
Okay.
So,
okay.
Dave, you why don't you go first?
Why don't you go first so I can get an idea of what we're doing here?
Oh, okay. So I think I'll go first. So I think that the holidays are a great time because I think you could pick some of those really. I think people are out on days they aren't normally out on. You know what I mean? I think people might go shopping on a Tuesday, especially as we get closer to the holidays. So maybe taking advantage of that time a little bit and offering some sort of partnership with a large brand and do some sort of, you know, something out of the ordinary, a dinner of some sorts. Maybe like a on-the-run sort of happy hour type scenario where, hey, I know you're out shopping. Come by for us. Grab a quick bite. Grab a drink. We'll get you refueled and get you back out there shopping right away. Like doing some sort of marketing push like that to kind of, I don't know, just something a little bit different than the normal. Kind of like we're acknowledging the fact that this is a busy time of year.
Right. Well, that's a really great idea. In fact, a lot of the clients that I worked with this past Saturday was Small Business Saturday. So what we did is I collaborated with my clients. We figured out in their specific town the small businesses that they wanted to highlight that were pretty much in walking distance within these restaurants. And then they promoted them. And then the small businesses also said, hey, here's a great place to stop for lunch or for dinner in between all your holiday shopping. So that's a really great idea with collaborative marketing.
You know, another great thing you might want to do, too, is if you are in a place where there's a lot of restaurants, like maybe you're in a West Hartford type of area, or maybe you're in like a South Norwalk type area, or maybe you know, I'm saying areas around us here, but there's obviously places like that all over the country. You know, in Virginia, there's a Carytown type area where, you know, there's restaurants, and if you're cool with everybody there, a fun thing to do also is promote a chef swap where different chefs take over different restaurants and, you know, kind of have to execute their menu and add extra things to the menu and things like that. It's just kind of a fun, gimmicky type thing, but it brings people in because it's something different.
I agree. And it's fun, too.
Yeah, I think it's amazing, especially to see somebody else's take on your food. That's always a fun thing to do. Dave, you've got some input there. What do you think?
I would do all of that. Yeah, sounds like good ideas, guys.
I think Dave is just going to yes us to death on account of his sore throat.
Oh, jeez. No, come on. Give us an idea, Dave. What would be a good marketing thing for the holidays that you would try to implement somewhere? I mean, look, you work in a casino, so there's always fucking people.
Yeah, there's people everywhere. I mean, I think what I noticed Sunday, there was a ton of people at the casino just in general. But I know part of it was the concert that was going on. But the other part is they finished the gingerbread house, which is like life size and actual gingerbread. So a lot of people came in to see that.
Who did that? Was it the banquet kitchens or who does that?
Yeah, it was the banquet kitchen, but it was the executive pastry chef.
That's amazing. Yeah. So you think maybe marketing that some way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, things like that will bring people into, especially around this time because it's family oriented.
Kate, I think that was pretty good. Like, we should give Dave a little credit there that he did a good job. That's great.
He did a great job. And along with what he said, he mentioned the concerts going on. You know, there's tons of holiday concerts going on with, you know, dance classes and kids taking singing classes and, you know, local schools doing performances. And if you're a restaurateur, you should kind of have an idea of when these are, because then you can also capitalize on that opportunity offering maybe, you know, like a family style meal either before or after the event, you know, to kind of promote that.
Especially in like a small town sort of area, you know, or mm-hmm. even if you live in like a city of some sorts. I mean, everybody has these, you know, performance places, these playhouses, they have these dance areas, like especially in the holidays. Kate's totally right. Like, that's a great way to get in there, partner with them, even show up there if they would let you go there. And have a few sample bites of stuff if you can. Like, that's a great way to bring people into your place. I mean, sampling food is a tried and true, proven way of bringing people in your restaurant.
100%. 100%.
People like that, especially if you're new in an area, just to go out and start sampling things. And that's why you have so many people who take part in chili cook-offs and things like that. It's just a great way to get your name out there.
Well, if you know your audience, too, and you know who's going to be frequenting the area that you're in and what they're going to be doing, you can use those activities as opportunities to get them in the front door.
100%. I think that's really, really 100% true. I think there's just so many. I think, like you said, using the local, even like, what's the name of the group who's in your town? If you had a local National Restaurant Association, like they're the chapter there, working with those guys and. But maybe even going outside of that and, like I said, working with the local tile store. You never know, man, what can happen, especially on these weird shopping days.
The local tile guy usually has some high-end clients he needs to entertain. And if you're working with him on something else, he might be willing to bring in those clients for a holiday dinner or even a company dinner, you know, to kind of repay the favor. So you gotta make those.
Oh, dude, totally good call on that. Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a pretty good thing to think about. I didn't even look at it like that.
It's just partnering with different people all over the place. I think real estate agents are another great group of people to partner with, especially during the holidays, because they're trying to get more clientele in. And it's definitely an easy back and forth. And you'll find that guys like real estate people, ironically, they generally have a bit of a budget sometimes.
Yeah, once in a while, you can work with someone that might be able to throw a couple dollars your way to create something really cool.
Now, let me ask you this though. So, Kate, so we've came up with a couple of good ideas here. I mean, these are like no-brainer type ideas, right? But are all these kind of, if you have a decent social media following, I mean, can you maybe not have to work as hard at these things and maybe come up with more in-house type things?
Well, sure. I mean, social media is always going to help you, but that's why these collaborative efforts are so great, because once you collaborate with someone and kind of make that agreement with them, you both also have to agree to sharing it with your various audiences. So, you know, if we think about the tile guy, for example, the tile guy may have people following him that are not following you. And if you're using those social media, you know, you're using the same graphics, you're using the same language to promote the same event.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whoa, that was a crazy sound. It's just a different type of group of people you can reach out to. You know, I speak all the time to some of my friends when they post things on Facebook in particular. I mean, I think a lot of times with Facebook, when you post something, you're talking to people who most of the time probably already know what you're doing.
Yes. Eventbrite, even if it's a paid event or if it's a free event, also helps because they help people research things in a specific location. So that's always great. Using your own email marketing also helps. I feel like most restaurants, believe it or not, do not capitalize on using the emails that they're collecting through maybe their reservation service or through those cards that they leave at the table. You know, those are people who are really interested in you. If they're handing you over their email address, use it to your advantage.
Yeah, and that's a really, really good point because email marketing is... I think it's like a forgotten art. Like, there's definitely something you can use there, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think most restaurants and restaurateurs and chefs do not have the time to be thinking about it. And it is something that you have, you know, that you can use and capitalize on because you have all those people at your fingertips.
Yeah. What do you think of things like MailChimp and things like that you can, like, do those massive email things to? Because I generally don't open them if I see that that's where it's from.
Oh, so it's so funny. I use MailChimp. I use Constant Contact for myself and all my clients. I generally have really great open rates. I mean, if you think that it's not something that you would open, then the people that are sending you the emails from those accounts probably aren't enticing you enough with great subject lines.
Wow, listen to you. So, but don't you think it means more like, so for instance, if I send you an email from let's say I'm doing an email to a group of people, right? And I can do Constant mm-hmm. Contact, I could do MailChimp, or I could literally just put the emails, you know, copy paste all the emails into an email and then type up my own thing and send it out. I worked mm-hmm. at a place in Florida that did that, and they had, I mean, this was 2006, 2007, probably before there even was Constant Contact and stuff, but he would mm-hmm. do that. And had great success with it. Like, that's how he got everyone's attention. And then what drove me nuts, he typed everything in caps, but I don't know why he did that. But that's what he did. I'm like, stop yelling at people.
So how many people is he doing that with?
Right. So that's probably a great point right there. I mean, he probably sent out 100, yeah. 200 emails, you know?
If you're sending out 200 emails at a time with people on a group email, you're probably going to get spammed really quickly by everyone's email programs nowadays. They're pretty good at doing that. Versus if the email is reading it from MailChimp or a Constant Contact, it generally does not end up in the spam box as often.
Wow. Because I guess like people who send out mass emails is usually because they've been hacked or something.
That and they're hackers, yeah.
Wow. Dave, when's the last time you sent out a mass email?
2003.
I like it that he like knows exactly the year.
I asked that question. I just pictured him sitting there as he drinks his cup of warm coffee with bourbon in it, wearing nothing but a robe. He all of a sudden opens up a calendar book and goes, 2003.
It's funny. That is so funny.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. I think, you know, too, I think sometimes we get caught up in these, you know, very designed emails, and I think to your point, when you're reaching out to people, every once in a while, just writing a letter to your audience and just kind of letting them know what's going on, I think means a lot. Because even though you're hitting send and it's going to lots of people at the same time, you're still taking the time to write that email and to write that letter. So I think a lot of people appreciate that.
Yeah, I think it's just a personal touch. When I see Constant Contact or something like that, a lot of times, and that's just me personally, I picture it's from some PR person who's not even, like, you know, really there, doesn't really know what's going on. I don't know. That's me. That's the chef in me that comes out. That, you know, I'm like, come on. You know, I should probably look at them more. And I think I urge everyone that they should do that and look at those things, because you're probably going to see a lot more companies, even smaller companies, using software like that to do, you know, mass marketing.
Well, speaking on behalf of a PR person that's not necessarily in the restaurant all the time, sometimes I know more about what's going on in the restaurant than the staff do. So,
well, that's actually, you know what? So that's called a softball. I just set you up for that. That's where I was going to go next, is because, like, you may have the chef in the restaurant, the cooks in the restaurant, whatever. They're there working their job, where the PR person actually is more part of what's going on promotional-wise and understands what's happening in that restaurant probably better than the people that work there do.
Well, I think also too, and I don't mean to say this to sound like I'm tooting my own horn at all, but I think a really great PR person is able to capture the personality of a chef or restaurant and to kind of communicate that well through social media and through email. So hopefully if you were working, you know, with someone like me, you know, it would kind of be very seamless, you know, because I view my job as a way for chefs to express themselves in ways that they don't feel confident enough to. So I, you know, really work hard to kind of capitalize on their personalities and capture their personalities and kind of communicate that to their various audiences.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Dave, why don't you tell people where they can learn a little more information about Kate?
You can find Kate on Intoxicate Foodie on Instagram and Facebook, and you can check her out Tuesdays at 6 p.m. on WGCH.com.
And Kate, what do you talk about on the radio show? Like, how's that going for you? I've seen you still doing it. I've listened to your show before. Like, what's the story with that? Are you guys still rocking that?
Still rocking the radio show. Love doing the radio show. Basically, what I do is I'm really focused on Fairfield and Westchester County.
Yeah,
so
part of
I,
New York, part of Connecticut, absolutely.
Yeah, I try to really. I have chefs on. I have wine experts on. I have bartenders, mixologists, gourmet shop owners, anything that you're like kind of eating or drinking or exploring in Westchester and Fairfield County, you know, we're talking about it. So it's really, you know, kind of way for people in that area to celebrate and learn about new things on a local level.
Interesting. Interesting. That's great, man. It's a great show. You guys should definitely check it out. If you're here, you can find it at WGCH.com. You can check that out on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And I think it also archives them there, right?
It does, yes.
Let me ask you this. So there's lots of promotional things, and this is something that's kind of been going around a little bit here, and I've asked a lot of the PR people. My friend Rev was on the show here, Rev Ciancio, who is a giant marketing guy. And I asked him this question, so I'm going to ask you too. I don't want to say any names because we try to stay positive here. I got asked to cook for the largest tech company in the country.
Okay.
In the world, actually. And it happens to rhyme with Oogle.
Jeez, I had no idea what you were talking about until that point.
I know, right? I'm glad. I was trying to help. And that's called disguising. I was camouflaging it right there. But I got asked to come do some stuff with those guys, and it's a great idea to go and do, and it sounds great. It's like humbling to be asked, and you go, and they show you around. But you can't social media any of it. They don't social media any of it, and there's no money. $0 and 0 cents, yet a company like this has reclining massage chairs and a person working in massage rooms on every floor for the employees. Mm-hmm. What do you think about things like that? Do you see any benefit to that? Because I have trouble seeing it.
I mean, so you did it, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't do it. I thought you said you went.
Oh, I went for like the introductions and had the meeting and met the people, and they like showed me all the shiny things, and you know.
You know, for someone like you, I think because you do the personal chefing, I could see opportunity in cooking for people at the Google level that may want to hire you for their services at their own home.
I mean, maybe, but this is the problem, though. Here's where the problem comes. Like, now this is me tooting my horn. I don't mean it this way. As someone who's I am as a private chef for what I do, you know, the clientele that I generally work with aren't going to the Google Cafe. Does that make sense?
All right. So then, no, it's not for you.
Like, they are the people who are... I don't know. Like, I don't mean it in a bad way because they have some great food there and they're doing a lot of amazing things for local food. What they're doing for local food is absolutely mind-blowing when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't see a win in the situation for me. And I kind of feel bad about it. But I don't know. Like,
but you can't feel bad about it. If there's not a win for you, it's not for you.
But does it look good just to be able to say, hey, here I am at Google? Like, does that mean something? Is that a good thing? Especially here during the holidays, you'd be able to say that, like, on your social media so other people can see it.
But you said that you can't do that, correct?
Well, I could do it after the fact. Like, oh,
hey. After the fact. I mean, you know, if you feel like your customer base is going to be wowed by the fact that you cooked at Google.
Would you be? Honestly, be honest. Like, if I said, hey, I'm cooking at Google, I'm guest chefing at Google today, or would you be like, really?
I mean, I wouldn't, but I think the average person might.
Yeah. How about you, Dave?
Yeah, I'd be like, that's pretty cool.
All right, so there you go. I mean, I'm still, the jury's still out for me on this. Like, I haven't told them no, but I haven't really been rushing to get back to them.
I mean, listen, I always try to look at things like you never know what's going to happen, right? You never know what's going to happen. So you might not see the opportunity in the moment, but afterwards you might have an opportunity that presents itself that you might not expect.
Oh, that's great advice right there, actually. That's really, really good advice. I mean, that really is.
I mean, not to bring up the Mooty stuff, but when I was approached by Mooty Tomatoes, I originally thought it was a joke.
Right.
I thought someone was playing a prank on me.
What a great brand, by the way. Mooty Tomatoes. Like, you introduced me to these guys, and you were doing some promotional stuff for them, which came out fantastic, by the way. You look great in the picture.
It's
awesome. Really, really happy. I saw that. I was really happy for you.
Thank you.
But the product is actually really good stuff.
It's really great stuff. And it was so interesting when they you know, asked me. I didn't really know much about the brand. And when they told me what they were going for in the direction of, you know, trying to capture passion and excitement, I was really honored to be part of the campaign. But I didn't taste it until I got on set. So, I mean,
wow.
I had a lot of canned tomatoes that day. And let me tell you, still loving them.
You know, one of the things I really liked about them, and I hope to actually have them on the program here, because I'd love to talk about the whole process with those guys. But you know, a lot of canned tomatoes, you taste them, and they're super salty. These were not at all.
No, not at all. And you know how sometimes you taste a canned tomato and you get that, like, metallic taste?
Right.
You don't have that either.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. But you look at a brand like that, especially here during the holidays, they're kind of taking advantage of people like you and people who have social media followings, kind of working their magic that way, as opposed to going a traditional advertising route. While they are doing things in a magazine and whatnot, but there's no TV ads and things like that on a regular basis you see. But here in the holiday times, I mean, that's kind of a great way to go. I think people like that, or like myself, like you, people who are on social media, who do things, have a bigger reach to a more, you know, apt to buy a product audience than a generic TV commercial.
And I will tell you, I've had so many people reach out to me and ask me where to get them, you know, on the chef side, on, you know, the home cook side. And it's really amazing how many people have actually shared pictures with me, with them cooking with them and trying new recipes with them. I had one person, I did give them a few recipes. I had someone send me a picture recently of the recipe that I had posted. So it's really fun to kind of have that interactivity to it too.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You, like I said, the picture's great. You look fantastic in it. It's a great campaign. Very, very happy for you. I saw it, and I think I started clapping. Like, it was like, Hercules. I was clapping.
You know, it's still hard to believe that it happened, but I'm really glad that it did. But again, it was an opportunity that presented itself that I never thought would present itself. So.
Especially with those hard A's when you talk. Camping, like, that's the thing. Like, it's just crazy to hear it. But yeah, I'm so happy for you. It's great for you. Let me ask you this. So holiday times right now, I got approached. I'm throwing everything out there. I got asked last minute today to do TV tomorrow, and I can't do it. But, you know, people who, you know, everybody has their local lifestyle show, their 10 a.m. hour in the news or 9 a.m. hour in their local news in the morning. This time of year, do you think that more people are paying attention to those, you know, lifestyle type programs, those news type programs, and there's a spot for doing local TV, like, now more than ever in the holidays? Because I tend to think that there might be. It's just my opinion.
Well, listen, I don't even think it's the holidays. I think when it's the minute it starts getting bad outside with the winter and everything, people are on their local TV stations to check out the weather, to check out the traffic, to check out the school closings. So I think, yes, you're probably going to get people watching TV a little bit more, and definitely it's the time to take advantage.
You know, it's crazy, though, because it is 2018, and, you know, more people, more and more, are all digital. You know, one of the things I just recently learned, and you guys know this with Hulu? Hulu, you can do for $30 a month. You get like 50 channels, all like good channels, and local TV channels with a DVR for $30 a month through Hulu. And
wow.
I know, right? I mean, you can get like Food Network, you can get like HBO all through Hulu, $30 a month. And I was like, wow. I mean, that's the way everything is going. Everyone's being digital these days. So, I mean, I just wonder if the time of doing the local TV show, is that done?
I don't think so. I think people still are digesting news on the local level.
Dave, how many times have you watched local news since you moved to Connecticut?
Honestly?
I know the answer.
Zero.
That's why I'm asking. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, not once.
Do you have cable in your house, Dave, or do you just have digital, like Netflix and whatever you're watching that way?
I have Netflix and Prime and Hulu.
That's the way everything is going, Kate. Like, I just that's the question mark I have. Like,
I have it too. I have it too. But the thing is, that's really great about the local companies is that they're also posting things on social media, and you've got a high quality video that you can share right on your social media pages.
That's where I was going to go. I think that's the benefit right there. I don't think the benefit is so much people watching the product as it is afterwards. You get this content that you can now use on your social platforms. That's where I think the benefit is.
I mean, how do you find out that your kids' schools are closed?
So I'm a radio guy. I love radio. I've always been a radio fan. Here locally where I live, Anna and Raven do a great job. We check those guys out. And then, of course, I mean, everything comes to your phone immediately. Immediately, I know. Like, especially here where I live, they send you you get a text, you get an email, and you get a phone call. It tells you if school's closed or if it's going to be a delay or something like that.
Do you remember back in the day where you would sit there and watch TV until it came across?
We used to watch that school closing ticker like it was the countdown for New Year's Eve. Like, we were like, come on, baby, come on, come on. Like, we were hoping the lottery numbers. Like, we'd gotten five of them. We were waiting for that sixth number. And when it finally came across, oh, my God, it was the greatest feeling ever.
Oh, hysterical.
I think so. Dave, did you ever have that where you watched the TV and waiting for it to say your school's closed?
Oh, yeah, probably like 5 or 6 times a year once it started getting cold.
Wow. So, I mean, yeah, I think there is a spot for local TV when it comes to that. Let me ask you this, Kate. So this is an interesting one. And I actually almost called you when this happened because I was like, is this crazy talk? Radio here in Connecticut, one of the top programs in Connecticut here, especially in my area, called me last week and had me come in and do a Thanksgiving bit for these guys, right? Where they wanted me to come in and do like a stuffing. They wanted me to make fun of their producer because he couldn't make stuffing and talk to them about how to make it better. Okay? So, turns out, I was like, yeah, of course, because they're buddies. Of course, I'll go in and do the show. I go in, right, and I'm just talking about the stuffing and whatnot. And like, I'm not really even plugging anything. It's just me. Hey, Chef Plum is here. Check him out. You know, the host kind of does the plug or whatever. But then they hit me with, after the fact, he goes, yeah, this is going to air in the 6:10 hour in the morning, because it was obviously pre-recorded. Those of you who don't know, a lot of radio is pre-recorded. He goes, yeah, sorry, I didn't tell Christian to tell you because I knew you wouldn't come if I told you it was going to air in the 6:10 a.m. hour, because he knows that I know. Like, there's nobody listening to radio at 6:10 a.m., and those people who are listening to radio at 6:10 a.m. Are the freaks you don't want calling you. But here's my point. So you have something like that happen. Yeah, Dave's like, I heard it. Which would have been hysterical if you just said that. When that happens, doing like, you know, local radio stuff, is there still a place for that?
I definitely. Well, I mean, you're talking to someone who has a local radio show. So, yes, I think so. For the same reason as you're probably getting a really produced clip that you can share. And this is... It's one thing for you because you have your own show and you can produce these clips on your own if you wanted to. But if you're talking to the regular chef out there, the restaurateur out there that's not a personality like you that has, you know, media behind him that he produces on his own, you know, that clip is being produced for him. And again, it's something that he can share. It's content. He can send it out through social media. He can share it via email. So I think it is important to still do those things. 6:10 in the morning is a little on the early side, yes.
Yeah, right. That's like definitely the time when no one's listening for sure. But I guess it depends on where you are in the whole scheme of things, to be honest with you. Like, listen, I love those guys. They're great friends of mine. That's why I do it all the time. I get asked to do local TV I mean, at least 3 times a week. Like, it's insane how much it happens because they want someone who can talk and be silly and be fun on camera.
I mean, you're kind of a big deal.
No, I'm not. I'm another douchebag making dick jokes on the radio and drinking beer. And I happen to be able to make great food. Right. But, you know, it's just the way it goes. And I think that it's good for everybody. But my point is, when it comes down to these things, I don't think that chefs and restaurants, especially here during the holiday time, should ever be paying money for those local TV spots. Those guys are trying to fill slots left and fucking right. If you're paying money for it, you're not doing it right. What do you think about that, Kate?
Advertising or paying for content?
Well, you broke up there. Say it again.
You said paying for content, like being on the show? Or
yeah,
paying
people who will pay like their local TV station to advertise, and part of the advertising is, oh, we'll have you as a guest on a local program. Like, that's just a waste of time. Uh-oh. Dave, is that your fault? Did we lose Kate?
It's totally my fault.
There she goes. She's talking on that weird can in the string at least to my house again. That's the problem.
Oh, man, I think a squirrel's probably chilling on it right now. Yeah, just shake it.
That must be. I guess, long story short, Kate, what do you think about local TV in the holiday times? Like, is it worth doing? That's the no-brainer question.
The answer to my question, in short, is local TV, local radio, still opportunity.
So I think that the government is upset that I'm talking about FCC-regulated media, Dave, because they're cutting Kate out.
No, man. What?
It might be her headset she's on. If she's on a headset, that must be what it is. But I think that there's just so many different ways, especially here this time of year, that you can put content out there to help push your brand, to push any brand, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a personal brand, things like that. I mean, whether it's using social media or whether it's using television or radio, I don't think there's a right or wrong. Dave, if you had to choose, what do you think is the most, here's the best question for you, Dave. When it comes down to it, what is the most consumable media by you?
I guess it would be like social media, because that's the only thing I actually have on me all the time is my phone. So
that's the thing. We all have those little 6-inch screens in our pocket, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Kate, are you with us? I think we might have lost Kate. I'm going to try to reconnect with her here shortly. I'm not sure what happened there. I think that sounds like it was like a garbled call or garbled message maybe on her end of it. You know, I think social media is probably the most consumed form of media, but I think it's also generational. You're not going to reach out to those, you know, older gentlemen or, you know, those couples or, you know, those older people. And older meaning like people in their 50s and stuff as much on social media as someone like myself and you, because, you know, I'm a stout Adonis, like 27-year-old gentleman, you know, Dave. So I'm younger than you.
Yeah, sure. Never mind. I was just gonna say, if you're 27, that makes me like 18 or something like that. <I don't know. laughs>
There's Kate. There she is. Yeah. Well, that hurt a little bit.
I think I came in at the perfect time.
Yeah, I don't. But I mean, that's kind of where I wanted to head next with it. It's the clientele you're trying to reach, the demographic of people you're trying to reach. I think when you're trying to reach a certain demographic of people, doing the radio, doing the local TV, is correct. But when you're trying to reach someone in their, you know, it was mid-20s, that 25 to 35 demographic, local TV is probably not the right way to go, or local radio is probably not the right way to go. Social media is probably the better way to spend your money.
You have to know your audience. It's marketing 101.
Right. What are the best ways to find your audience, Kate?
Well, before I answer that, I just want to say that if you do something like local TV or local radio, then what happens is you're reaching those people and you're listening to those potential media outlets. But then you're getting a package where you can actually email, so then you're getting your other set of demographics. So that's why I think it's always a great idea to take advantage of that and to have something completely produced for you. And I think that, again, you and I can put that together.
Uh-oh, I think we lost her again.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Are you on a headset or something? What's the deal here?
No, I'm just on my mic, my regular mic.
Huh, I think the connection seems to be make sure everything's nice and tight or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Is it just dropping me? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you're coming like in and out. So we're catching like at the end there, we call like every other word. So it's fun.
Oh, sorry.
But I love ad libs. So it's a great time.
Yeah. Just kind of fill in the blanks and mm-hmm. know your audience and take advantage of it.
Right. And Dave is not the guy you want to play ad libs with. Trust me. He says terrible things. It's not good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think knowing your audience is a great thing. So how do you find your audience? How do you know what your audience is? Because I think that is the question. That's the hard question. Because I can come on here and I can talk to everybody and I can say, yeah, we're top 10 in iTunes in food and we're top 100 in arts and it's great and we love it. But that doesn't really – I don't know who I'm talking to still. Like, I have no fucking idea. I get messages from people, and people check the show out, like, oh, it was really great. Last week's show, we had Patrick Trahan on, and it was a great story. He's, from our Portrait of a Chef series, and he's in New Orleans, and he was nominated to be on the show, and he starts talking about his 13 months he did in prison, then coming out and trying to regain his life as a chef. Like, it got emotional. What a great fucking show, right? It was really, really fun, and it was awesome. And then, we come to something like this, and you're talking more and more and more about this sort of stuff. So people like it, but it's a different group of people I'm talking to, I feel like.
Well, I think for you it's going to be different than if I'm giving it advice to a restaurateur. If you are opening up a restaurant or have opened up a restaurant in a specific town, you should know what your demographic is. You should have a pretty good idea of what that is. For you, it's a little bit different, and you should be able to tell a little bit by your analytics on who's listening, and they should be able to paint a picture of who you're kind of trying to reach and who you are reaching.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of, especially, a restaurant road trip, I can tell you everything as it comes down to how much money they make. Like, it's crazy how much information we get through Facebook with that. But I think that we've talked a lot about here about, working with restaurants and companies and things like that. But I mean, more about branding as like a chef or a personality or things like that. Like, I think finding your audience that way is a bit harder.
I think if you're thinking about branding yourself as a chef, it's a little bit different. If you're branding your restaurant, of course, it's really going to be location-based.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's probably it. It's based on the town, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're opening up a – if you're doing all the research and putting all this investment into opening up a restaurant, you should really kind of know the demographic in the restaurant to make sure that your concept is matching up by who's going to be attending your restaurant.
Do you think the holidays change that? Do you think the holidays change that demographic a little bit?
I think so. I think you're getting people probably on the higher end dining out more.
I think you're getting people on the higher end of dining out more, but I also think you're getting people who are more likely to spend money or just who are in a better mood. Like, I noticed myself today. I'm walking through the city. It's pouring rain. I'm walking through Tribeca, and I'm still smiling at people, and I'm, like, saying hi to people. I don't even fucking know them, but, like, I try to do that anyway, and you know that from being with me, and that's what I do. But, like, I see that more and more and more often, doing that to people and talking to them and being friendly to them.
But did you have, like, a red Santa suit on?
Now, is that a fat joke?
Maybe,
it was
maybe a bell? Maybe a bell?
That was a fat joke.
No, it was a jolly
I'm working on it,
holiday
Kate.
Joke.
Kate, I am working on it. I want you to know, like, literally, like, I think I'm down, like, 30 pounds. So I just want you to know.
The collard green.
That's right. That's right. Hey, let me ask you this. So, Dave, first, give a little info so where we can find more stuff about Kate.
You can check her out Tuesdays at 6 p.m. on WGCH.com and also on Instagram at Facebook at Intoxicate Foodie.
And which is great because, I mean, she's so fun. And Kate's also really cool about just asking questions, too. If you ask her a question, she'll probably answer it, right? Kate?
Can you hear me?
Nope. Here we go.
It's like that scene, like a fire in the sky. Like when it's all like static and they're like, you can't really hear it, but you kind of can.
Oh, boy.
She's really good about that stuff, too. And she's also done a little bit of promotional stuff for herself, for her own brand as Intoxicate. You've done Dr. Oz, right? You were on that show? Oh, Kate. For Christmas, Santa's bringing Kate a new microphone. That's what's happening.
I do apparently need one.
Yeah, or at least a new mic cable. That's what we're going to get you. So you've done Dr. Oz, right?
Correct.
And how was that experience for you?
What
a generic question that was. Let me ask you. Let me rephrase it. I sound like a douchebag. How was that experience for you? Go fuck yourself. That's what you should have said to me right there. I wish you had said go fuck yourself because I would have laughed so hard I might have choked. What a dumb question that was. Dr. Oz, you got on that show. You were doing your thing. You did a great job on that. How was that experience? Like you go on there. You're not a chef, and you say openly, hey, I'm not a chef, but you go on there to talk about some really, you know, it's tough because it's tough for me because I think he has a lot of people on who don't deserve to be on that show, but you're on there. So, I mean, you have a
platform. Wow, you are really killing it with this question right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. It's not good. I kept waiting for one of you to jump in and save me, and I'm looking over, and I'm sure Dave is sitting there just laughing. He's biting his thumb, letting me talk.
Yeah, I'm like, man, that snowball just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Thanks for helping. Awesome. Thanks for helping, co-host. I appreciate that.
You're
Rob?
Not a chef.
I need Rob. Rob would have bailed me out there, at least throw me a life preserver. Fuck. Here, for myself, you guys can't hear it, but I played a buzzer sound for myself and a whammy. Here you go.
Oh, my gosh.
Talk about Dr. Oz, Kate. You're the best. You know I love you. Go for it.
Well, even though I'm not a chef, I was Jesus. On the Dr. Oz show. No, he wanted regular people cooking. So it wasn't like I was presented as a chef or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it was fun. You know, I maybe, you know, got a little boost on social media from that. It was a really fun experience. Being in front of the camera was a lot of fun. And I would love to do more of that. So I guess all around it was a great experience. He's a very nice man. So it was positive overall. Cool.
I can help you with the on-camera stuff. We should talk about that because I can help. I can help.
Listen, I would love to have my own local show.
Well, everybody would, but, you know, we don't want local.
Man,
we want national.
You are so kind tonight. I love it.
What do you mean? I mean it in a nice way.
It was a Santa joke, wasn't it?
You really hurt me with the fat joke you made.
It was not a fat joke. You were walking on the streets in the holiday season, smiling at everyone and saying hello. It was like jolly reference.
Yeah, but jolly usually means fat.
Thank you. Jolly means fat.
Give
That's
me a
terrible.
Break.
It's not
the jolly green giant isn't fat.
What the fuck? Now
he's
I'm
a giant?
Jesus.
It's inferred. Like jolly and large go hand in hand.
God damn it. That's so hurtful. I have a new intro and everything, and that's what I get? That's terrible. Damn it. Kate, listen, I don't know. We might be breaking up after this. I'm just saying. Like, I thought we were tight. We were friends. Like, we're boys. And now this is happening. I don't know.
You are hysterical.
So, final thoughts, man, to finish this up, Kate. Because, and by the way, thank you for your time. I do appreciate, especially you putting up with me asking a shitty question like that. God, I feel so. You know how much I'm going to beat myself up over that? You have no idea. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to read it to myself. I'm going to try to. I'm gonna be like, what is wrong with you? Anyway. Shut up, Dave. Dave's laughing because he knows I really will do that.
And I'm picturing you right now looking in the mirror. It's like, how was your experience? Stupid.
Fucking dumbass. You're the worst. final thoughts. So kind of going into the holiday season, what are some ways – oh, also you got to pick a winner still. Some ways that you think, easy ways that aren't, you know, expensive and cost money that – you know, a person in a restaurant business, a chef, you know, a small local restaurant can promote themselves to take advantage of the holiday season.
Well, I think there's tons of ways you can take advantage of the holiday season. We talked about some really great collaborative efforts, which are really key. You know, gift card promos are also really wonderful this time of year. I know a lot of people don't want to give away too much for free, but if you have people buy X amount of a gift card and get throwing them something another way, just think it's another person or another family that's going to be coming into your doors. You know, I think really using your email newsletters to your advantage and really, you know, if you're a location that can cater or host holiday parties, really start showcasing that during the holiday season.
Absolutely. What a great way to think about it. I mean, it's just one of those things where you have to, I think you keep pushing. That's it. You just keep pushing and eventually something's going to hit, you know? I mean, I tell everyone all the time, especially in my world, you got to throw everything at the wall. You know, if you come into this business and you're not prepared to throw everything, then you're not doing it right.
Right. And I think, again, putting yourself in your audience position, trying to think like they're thinking, putting yourself at different time frames during the holiday season, you know, at the beginning of the holiday season, during like that Small Business Saturday, talking about some small businesses, you know, when you start to get a little crazier during the holiday season, you know, talk about how you're a really great place to kind of unwind with a great glass of wine or a craft cocktail. Like, you really kind of have to think about the way that they're feeling and then speak to them and be a solution.
Absolutely. I love be a solution. That's a fucking great way. That should be a hashtag for you. Be a solution. That's awesome right there. That's really, really good, actually. Yeah, that's really good. And best form of social media for the summertime, for the holiday season.
I mean, you know, Facebook always, you know, does really well. But again, it's your demographic. Oh, did I say Facebook? I meant Instagram. Okay. I totally said Facebook and I was thinking Instagram. Instagram's wonderful. Like, the stories, taking advantage of the stories, you can tell a little bit more there. You can kind of paint a really great picture there. So Instagram is wonderful. But again, it's really going to depend on your demographic.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to go for sure. Dave, what do you think? Instagram for the holidays.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually where I find out stuff that's going on at work. I'll check out the Instagram story.
I'd let you wear my Santa suit, but apparently I'm so jolly it won't fit you.
I totally thought of a promotion. It kind of like ran through. Yeah.
Oh.
Get like a Santa suit and a t-shirt cannon. And then like wrap and then wrap like little $5 gift cards inside t-shirts, and then
you understand
shoot them
t-shirt
at people.
Shoot them at people.
Yeah, shoot a t-shirt cannon shoots at like 600 feet per second or some crazy shit like that.
It's a t-shirt though.
Yeah, but it's
not in a restaurant. Like, you go outside, like say it's during like a festival or something, and then just shoot t-shirts at people. And then they come in, and it's a $5 card, and it's like a free app, and then they'll probably get something else.
You got apps for $5 at your restaurant at Tuscany?
No, but still. it gets them in the door.
Well, even maybe a better idea than the t-shirt cannon, which is a great idea, but maybe a little better idea, is going into some of your local businesses, whether they're large or small, introducing yourself and just letting people know that you're there and able to host holiday parties, whether it be a company party or, you know, a family party. Just let people know that you're there and meet and greet.
That's good. I like that too. That's really good. Yeah. I mean, just get around and talk to people. I think it's just getting out there. I think the personal aspect of it, the personal touch of it, is kind of the key when it comes to small businesses and things like that in the restaurant business.
It's true. And the future of marketing is collaborative marketing. So, you know, start now.
Hey, if we all make one big pie, we can all get a slice, right?
It's true.
How many more analogies can we make? That'd be awesome. If the bigger pool, we can all get in.
That's right. Just be the solution.
Hey, Dave, if we make the hot tub bigger, we can fit, you know, 10 people instead of 8.
All right. That works.
Unless I'm one of them wearing the Santa suit, apparently, because then I don't fit, then it's going to take up 3 people. So,
it's and then right. The t-shirt cannon takes up another person.
Right. So we're like 6 people where my math would be off. Yeah. Kate, you're the absolute best. I do appreciate your time. You got to tell me, I started the whole show off tonight talking about a contest as to who would have the better idea for marketing of the small restaurant. Who is it? Dave gave you an option. I gave you an option. Just to recap, I said that, you know, meeting the local businesses, kind of working together that way, even maybe doing a small pop-up dinner, that sort of thing, something different. And I also threw in there maybe doing a chef swap with other restaurants locally. Dave, do you remember what you said?
I said I would do all of that, and then I added in the Santa Claus with the t-shirt cannon. So I think I win.
You threw the t-shirt cannon in later.
I thought it was a collaborative of ideas throughout the show.
It's not a think tank. No, this isn't happening.
Then it's a tie.
Is it a tie? I don't know.
Because I said I would do what she said and what you said. So actually, that's 2 things. So
that's,
I still win.
That's nonsense. You can't fucking. That's like you're fucking. You can't $1 me. You can't say $1.
I did. I totally did that.
Fuck you and your $1. We're not friends anymore. So I lost two friends tonight. One called me fat and one $1'd me.
Plum, you were in the lead until you asked me about Dr. Oz.
God damn it. I said you look great in the picture and everything. Like, I get no points for any of that stuff. This whole thing was about winning a contest. Am I not winning now? God damn it. I it was in the bag. I thought it was in the bag. Gosh. I don't know. Kate, you're the best. I appreciate your time every single day.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime, you have an open door, and I appreciate you coming on and telling us to give a little information. I hope some people found it interesting and found it hopefully useful, for sure. I'm pretty sure down the road you will. So, Kate, thank you so much for your time tonight, and I'll talk to you on down the road, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. There she goes, guys. Kate, intoxicate herself, hitting the road. Dave, I'm pretty sure she called me fat.
She called you jolly, so yeah.
I mean, jolly means fat, right?
She called you fat. Yeah. It's like calling somebody husky when you call
husky.
Them jolly.
Big boned. Yeah. It's there with big boned, right?
Yeah, probably. I think so. But big bone's not like a bad thing because usually you're tall as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she definitely called me big boned. She called me jolly and said I should have a Santa suit. That's some nonsense.
And a t-shirt cannon.
What are those powered by? Are they pneumatic?
It's like a CO2, like almost like a larger paintball
is that what
canister.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it has to have like a CO2 attachment to it unless you get like a belt pack or something, right?
Well, it's just like a tube and then it comes out the back and you load it in that way.
Yeah, right on. Well, yeah. Dave, I appreciate you taking the time to join me tonight and I do like how you pit bulled for me. I do appreciate that. When she started calling me fat, you chimed in really quick. I do appreciate that.
Anytime.
Yeah, that makes you feel good. Dude, happy holidays to you, sir. We're going to do some more holiday-themed shows here as the show moves forward, especially for the holidays, because get it, holidays, holiday themes. That's good, right? Dave, what do you think of the intro, the new intro? It's pretty sick, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And at the end, since you're jolly, you should have a go, ho, ho, ho. Like, just for the season.
Green Giant. I fucking hate that. I don't even know why we're friends. I have no idea why we're friends. I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Chef Plum. Make sure you follow me at Chef_Plum on Instagram. Make sure you follow the show on iTunes. And, of course, rate, review, and subscribe. Big thanks to Dave. Big thanks to Intoxicate. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.